You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks and Zach Bechtold. We hope you enjoy this week's show, and you can find out more about us by going online at beardedtheologians.com, where you can pick up a few t-shirts, listen to a few old episodes, and find ways that you can connect with us. Thank you for listening. You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we're going to be looking at our good old lectionary text for this week, but we're going to do what everybody does with it and look at a specific verse. And no, it's not John 3:16, because we've been there, done that a couple times, actually. We're going to actually look at John 3:17. And so, Zach, do your work, do your best with John 3:17.
What's the full lectionary reading today?
That's a good question. It is John 3, I think it's 13 through 24, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so I'll just read John 13 through 24.
Actually, 13 through 21, I think would be the...
Okay, yeah. I'll read John 13 through 21, and we'll dig into it.
Look it up before you dive into it, in case we got it wrong.
We like to prepare on this podcast.
We thought we were prepared. John 3:14 through 21.
3:14 through 21. Okay. John 3:14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged, and whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people love darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light, for the fear of their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God. Yeah, like Matt said, this is one of those texts that we really, once we get to John 3:16, the part that everybody knows, we kind of stop there. But I thought it was important for us, if we're going to focus on John 3:17, that's not any better than just stopping with John 3:16, right? So let's read the whole lectionary and get the whole breadth of what is going on here. And I think that's why we just have to do that, right? Or else we're cherry picking or missing the full context or missing something like John 3:17 if we just stop, right? Yep. And so, Matt, when you hear the fullness of kind of that, the fullness of the verses that surround those scriptures, right? The ones that everybody kind of knows at least John 3:16 by heart. And, you know, you and I were talking beforehand, we often ask, well, what's the next one, right? Do you know that one? And, what initially catches your attention in this?
Well, you know, like the part of the reason why I wanted to do John 3:17 is because like probably a lot of people, there was an era where at sporting events, you would see John 3:16. And I'm not gonna lie, as a kid who didn't grow up in the church, I was always wondering, is that like, hey, John, let's meet up at 3:16?
Right.
Or, you know, like I definitely, my imagination ran wild with that, and, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when I was becoming a follower of Jesus, but then also like a quasi semi-professional biblical scholar, you know, it's something that is, it's one of the verses, like it's one that you and I've probably read at funerals, it's the one that we've read in a lot of spaces. But I also think it's one of those ones that like it gets overused to the point that we forget really what it's about, but it leads into 17 so much that 17 gets overlooked all the time, and we forget really that 17, if you ask me, 17 is where the meat is. God didn't send his son into the world, might be saved through him. I actually jumped ahead. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Like, to me, that's way really important.
Right.
What
Well,
about you, Zach?
it's the crux of salvation, right? It's what we're looking to when we preach the good news in love and hope and salvation and who God is and created us to be. What really gets me out of this whole section is how much 14 through 18 sets up 19 through 21, which rhymes at the beginning of John's gospel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The light came into the world and people loved the darkness, right? And that's, that's the opening of John's gospel of how he introduces or the writer introduces Jesus, and there's very much the focus on light and dark and good and evil, and how those are at play in relationship with one another throughout all of John's gospel, especially in relation to Jesus, but in the relationship that people have with God, which you see throughout all of scripture, right? I feel like John, the writer of John's gospel, really ties that in well, and you see that here, with really what we would I would say is the foundation of the good news, right? That Jesus came, or that God sent Jesus, right? Because he loved the world, and those that believe in him will have eternal life. And then, like you said, here's what we do with it. God didn't send a judge, right? But the world might be saved. There's so much hope, in the reality of the world around us, in what they're trying to get at here.
Yeah. Notice that, like, even in what we read, even what you read, the followers of Jesus are not given authority to judge.
Correct. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but that's definitely one thing I'm trying to reclaim
Yeah.
or even really perpetuate, because I feel like, and some of us given coming where I'm coming out of, but I also still hear it even where I'm at now, that we should be judgy. And I'm sorry, I have yet to find where Jesus says or gives us that authority to do that. He gives us authority to heal. He gives us authority to care for our community. He gives us authority to preach the good news. But I've yet to find where Jesus gives us thy authority to judge. And if you know one of I think one of the things that we have to overcome in the faith is, and what's really causing us a lot of headaches is that false narrative of we have the ability to judge others of who they are and what they do and all the things. When we ourselves, like, you know, if we were to turn the tables, would we want to hear people saying the things to us that we do wrong all the time? You know, and I think that that's, you know, I think that's key. There is a difference between holding people accountable in a covenant community, but there's also like there's space to give grace in those spaces. But the moment that there's not a part of grace in the conversation, then we're doing it wrong.
Right. And I think that would be a well, interesting word study on the context of what judgment is here, and how we understand that word and made that word to be and used it either appropriate or inappropriately over time, and or does it lean more into accountability, right? We talk a lot about reclaiming words and judgments. Probably one of those words we should do a deep dive in sometime, right?
Yeah, maybe next week in the podcast so we don't have anything to talk about.
Right.
But I do think that like we like this whole scripture. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are preaching this scripture because it's easy to preach. I'm not gonna lie. This is like one of those ones like, oh yay, I'm glad this one came up this week because I've had a busy week. I'm not preaching that this week. I kind of wish I was. Although I find it interesting, like, what I'm preaching on this week is through McGray de Vega's book, Questions That Jesus Asked. And the question that he asks is, you know, who do you live for? And I'm like, this actually would work.
This works, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like he actually goes through the Gospel of Mark and talks about taking up thy cross. But like I almost pivoted on the scripture this week and went with this because, well, it works too. And my people are reading it because we have people that read the lectionary through the lectionary. And so You know, if I were preaching this week, the big thing I think I would lean into would be that the purpose of why Jesus was sent.
Right.
And that really, I mean, it is to be the light of the world. I mean, good, bad, whatever you want to do with that. I think right. that's where I would wrestle with this week if I were preaching it.
Well, I think it's important to note too, talking about the context of what is happening here and who's present. This is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, probably most of the time, we maybe forget or ignore who says this, right? And where it comes, Nicodemus simply asked the question, how can we do this, right? Where does salvation come from? I mean, he asked the question, how is it possible to for an adult to be born again, right? Is his question. And this is Jesus answering that salvation comes through the love of God and the movement in that through our relationship. And I don't know if I've just never thought about it, if I've overlooked it, or this is just one of those. You're right. You see it at basketball games. We kind of know it. We're over familiar with it. And so we don't dig into the who, right?
The who, yeah.
This is Jesus talking, not anybody else, not the disciples, not Paul, not anybody. It's Jesus.
But I'm not like, I can't remember the last time I've seen it in the last few years. Like you don't see it as much as you used to.
Yeah.
And that would even be fun to see what the history of how that came about. Like, I'm sure there's a 30 for 30 for it, or maybe ESPN, if you're listening, there should be a 30 for 30 about this.
Well, I mean, really probably what it is, it was in the height of the kind of evangelical prosperity gospel movement. That was the WWJD and the John 3:16.
Oh, it was even before that.
But how do we do the Christian marketing, right? And that's where it got so big and we started seeing it on all of the things, right?
So according to this Boston Globe article, it first leapt into popular culture in the 1970s when born-again Christians started holding John 3:16 signs at stadiums as a way to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
So professor of evangelism, Boston School of Theology, Boston University.
Go. Yeah, and it is. I mean, it sparked... You Austin 3:16 if you were WWF guy, right?
You still have your Austin 3:16 shirts, don't you?
100%. But that's where he got it from, right? He saw the signs out in the thing and he was like, this is my deal. This is my jam, right? And it's interesting how it's been. We could probably have a whole Lenten series on how this particular set of verses has been used, misused, and overused, and underused, and misunderstood, and all the things, right?
Yeah, definitely would be a fun fun sermon series, just like breaking it apart and talking mm-hmm. about it. If I mm-hmm. were to do definitely be one of the things it will,
right.
You know. So for those of you listening, we, you know, just encourage, you know, fire back at us, you know, what you're thinking with this scripture
fire
reading.
Back at us. Coming in hot.
This is why we don't record after 12 o'clock. But just connect with us. We'd be glad to hear from you what you think and what your thoughts are. This is one of those, you know, verses that everybody likes to talk mm-hmm. about. So feel free to talk about it. If you're preaching it on Sunday, God bless you. God be with you as you mm-hmm. proclaim the good news. Zach, any final closing words before I wrap it up?
No, I'm like you. I'm interested to hear people's thoughts and what catches their attention and the full breadth of what this lectionary text is, or just what John chapter 3 is, right? There's a lot there.
There's definitely a lot there, and just encourage you to dive into that. You can find some amazing content and buy some gear at beardedtheologians.com. Feel free to check us out, connect with us online and on social media. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.